Welcome to the Seek Holy Podcast. I'm your co-host, Zari.
And I'm Brittany.
And today we're here with our two best friends.
Hi, I'm Europe.
Hi, I'm Betty.
And before we get started, we just want to say, like, thank you guys for being here first.
Yeah.
And how are y'all doing?
Great. How y'all feeling? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm very excited to be here. I'm excited that you guys are doing this podcast. I think you have a lot of wisdom and good things to share with especially young women. And so I think, yeah, this is going to be really fruitful. I'm glad that you're doing it. I'm glad to be a part of it.
Thank you, Europe.
Yep. Yeah, and ditto to what Europe said. Here for the vibes and the support. I'm super excited.
Yeah. That's totally Betty's personality, guys. She's like straight to the point.
Always the ditto. Yeah.
Britt, how are you doing?
I'm excited. I mean, this is... Community is so dear to my heart. I know it's dear to your heart as well. I mean, even getting to do this podcast together, but to be able to open up our community and share with others just our story and how God has moved in our community. I'm excited too.
Yeah, I feel like I was really looking forward to this podcast because these are our girls. Like we've gone on trips together, accountability partners for the gym, all the things. So like I was happy. Like we have questions here today, but I'm also just happy for us to just vibe and like enjoy each other's company and like share how God has moved in our relationship together. So with that being said, how did we meet?
Yes. So it's such a beautiful picture of how God weaves our story. So Betty remembers how she met me. She came up to me my first time at a church in North Carolina, and we got connected into a life group together. She was leading a life group through young adults, and that's kind of how we met. And then I remember you, Zari, were invited into that life group probably maybe a year in or a couple months in, and that's how the three of us kind of knew each other, but we weren't really that close. We were just in life. We were just doing life together. And then over time, as we got more involved in young adults, we started to meet more folks, and we got to meet Europe's husband and through that community. And then I met Europe. And so, yeah, I feel like that through that community of young adults, which we can definitely expound on, that's kind of how it kind of trickled in. Does anyone want to add anything?
Yeah, I feel like I remember how I met you because it was so out of character for me to go up and like introduce myself to people because I'm generally like stand in the background, watch, observe. I just felt like I should go up and say hi. Mm-hmm. And then that just has given so much life and, you know, fruit since then. So,
yeah. I feel like Betty and Brittany have always been kind of like two peas in a pod. And I feel like Europe was my other half in the group, especially like. For us, it started off with us grabbing meals together and then going to movies. And I didn't think I enjoyed talking in the movies until I sat next to Europe. And we went to go see Marvel Endgame. And I was like, this is, was it the second one that we saw? Mm-hmm. Yeah, better ending than the first Endgame. Right? We were making jokes. And I remember a girl coming, sitting on our row, and she was like, shh. And we're like, okay. So if you are someone who enjoys silence and you believe silence is golden, I'm so sorry. But we had such a great time doing that. And then our friendship really continued to grow as we became prayer partners and would pray every day of the week. And those conversations were both students at the time, sometimes would last hours. And it was such a special time in developing that friendship between us both. And so like, I am, I'm gonna get emotional just even thinking about it, but I think about that for us too. And so,
And I think it's important to know that over the, I mean, what has it been like 5 years that we've been friends together and friends like knowing each other, there have been people that have come and gone from our community as well. Like not in a bad way, but just, you know, our friend circle was much larger and then people moved away or they transitioned to different things. And so, but one thing has been common is our relationships. And so we've been able to capitalize on that over the last couple of years. And we've done Bible studies together and we've walked each other through different seasons. And so, yeah, I think that when you begin to do life, God starts to shine a light on the people that he wants you to be closely connected to. And I'm so glad that he chose us. And I joke with Betty all the time. I'm like, I don't know if we would have been friends any other way except the Lord, because we're so different. And yet God makes it work. He's the common thread with us. So,
So if you guys didn't pick up, today we're talking about community in the church. And so that kind of leads us into like our first question and open to anyone. Why does community in the church matter?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it matters for a lot of reasons. I think, you know, obviously everyone wants friends. Nobody wants to be lonely. Everyone needs attachment. Everyone needs people to go through things with them, to be known and to be seen. I think personally, one of the things that I've loved about our community is having people that are going through things with me to remind me where I've been. Mm-hmm. And that has been something really special that that I've loved about having our community and having friendships that have lasted for a long time is people, I mean, you three each remind me of things that I've been through, things that I've thought before that I don't think anymore, that I would think, oh, that's crazy. Nobody would think that. And, you know, I have you three to say you thought that at one point. And, you know, you remind me of dreams that I've had that are now coming true. And yeah, I think community can be beautiful for a lot of reasons, but that's one thing that really sticks out to me about our friendship.
Yeah. And I think there are ways that you can't fully experience God individually. Yeah. You need like community to point you to Christ in certain ways and to refine you. Because I even think like how, because each of you are so different, there are ways like my friendship with each of you has like just matured me as a believer and even as a person. Because I think of like, Zari, you're like super disciplined. Like when you commit to something, like you're going to do that thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm not like wired that way, but like that discipline extends like spiritually, physically, mentally, all the ways. And then like Britt, like how you're like so obedient. Mm-hmm. And like, I look at that, I'm like, you know, it challenges me to want to be obedient or more disciplined. And Europe, you love people so well, yeah, like in ways that I just like naturally don't love people. So I think like being in community with each of you just like has allowed me to grow in those things. Mm-hmm. And in growing in those areas just has allowed me to know Christ in different mm-hmm. ways. And so I think like you do need to be in community mm-hmm. in order to experience like the fullness of Christ and to continue to grow as a believer.
Yeah, I think too, like in the context in the church that we met in, it was a very large church. Mm-hmm. And so like I feel like our community made it feel smaller. Mm-hmm. And I think something about our community, it became church in its own way. Like yeah. I feel like it was the expression of God's love towards us. It was mm-hmm. the ability to do things with you guys outside of that Sunday block of time. And like I feel like sometimes we get so caught up in like, as Christians, we think if I just go to church, then I'm a Christian. I've checked mm-hmm. the box. But I think when you're actually doing life with people, being prayerful, serving communities, like all those different things with people outside of just that Sunday block, mm-hmm. that's when you're going to see the most growth. And I feel like to Europe's point of like seeing your friends in different seasons and mm-hmm. being able to mm-hmm. speak life. If you're in a large church setting, one of the downfalls of that is who really knows you.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think if you can find your group, whether it's in that setting or if you're in a smaller church where people can see you through every season and speak that life over you and know if you're missing. Because I remember when I first started going to that church, I was like, no one would know if I was here or not. Mm-hmm. But then it came to a point of like, Betty, save my seat, girl. You're like, I need to text Betty to let her know that I'm going to be sitting in the back because I'm 20 minutes late, girl. So I'll catch you at the end. Like, I know someone is expecting my presence now, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like even as you are trying to, Betty talked about obedience, as you're trying to hear from the Lord and know if something is the Lord and not just, you know, your flesh or what have you, when you're surrounded by people that know you, they can help to have that discernment on, yeah that's the Lord, or girl, that is totally you. You just really desire that. That's really not the Lord. But if you're not in that community and people don't know you, then they're not able to discern that well with you. And so I think community also provides a safe space for you to be authentically you. And you have to be willing to be authentically you in those communities as well, right? You have to be vulnerable. And I know that was a journey for all of us in being vulnerable in community with one another. And so, yeah, I'm grateful for that.
Yeah. And I think ultimately too, community is like how God intended us to like experience him and experience each other. Like God himself is in community. Like Jesus was in community with the disciples. Like good. Community is all over scripture. And so I feel like if you can fully like follow Jesus as he intended, if you're like in isolation, you know, mm-hmm. or just like like vertical. It also needs to be like horizontal as well, because that's the model we see throughout scripture. So,
yeah, I like that you point out how we learned how to be vulnerable with each other. I think it's really easy in any sort of group, especially once you've become a young adult. Once you're out of college, it's easy to think everybody else already knows how to do these things. Everybody else knows how to make friends as an adult or have long-lasting friendships, and they probably have a group of friends already or whatever. And so I think it is probably encouraging to people to know that we were all met in our early mid-20s and learned how to be friends with each other in a lot of ways, and learned how to be vulnerable, learned how to pray together and seek the Lord together and encourage each other, and have succeeded and failed at that in different times, but have really grown in that together. And so I just say that to say, like, it's not too late, and like, not everybody's not ahead of you if you're in a place where you don't have that community yet, or you don't even know how to have that vulnerability and community yet. You can learn that with people, and you don't have to learn it before you find community. You can learn it in community.
I would love for us to just talk about, because I love that point that we had to put in the work to be in community. I would love to hear from each of you the ways in which we had to like fight for the unity within our friendship, like how we had to be intentional about loving one another, because y'all, we didn't always agree about everything, right? But we each had to do our own work in getting there. I know for me, you know, I'm one of those people that like, I can easily check out or not show up. I remember there was a season in our world where, you know, we were trying to be intentional about meeting together. And sometimes I would be like, I don't feel like going. I just want to stay at home. And you guys would be like, Britt, get out of your house. Let's go. Yeah. Let's meet together. And so that was something, getting out of my own comfort to be in community, to show up when those conversations were being had, when we were laughing and chatting about what we wanted in our life and what God was teaching us. So what about y'all?
I think for me, it's like two things I would say. I think the first one, and maybe one that has come more is easily, is like scheduling, like being intentional and just like scheduling things. Cause I remember when you first moved to Texas, like we were just like, we'd have calls scheduled. And I feel like even now, like, I guess more so with you, if I don't see you for a while, I'm like, I have like notes where it's like 2-3 weeks. I haven't seen someone. I haven't talked to people. Need to reach out to them or something like that, you know? So I think just being intentional of like not expecting it to happen spontaneously, and not like putting it in your schedule the way you put like other things. And I think the second thing for me has been sharing. I like, by nature, I'm not a sharer, but like realizing people care and they want to know stuff. So I think just being more proactive in like sharing information as it's happening. Cause I think I have a tendency to be like, oh, this happened, it's passed, we're good now. Whereas like, it's like, oh, I guess I should update people on my life as it's happening, not necessarily after the fact. So I think those for me have been the two biggest ways, just the intentionality of like setting time aside, making plans, or just even like having a calendar note to call someone and just sharing life as it comes, not after it happens. So
I was thinking about that second point as well. I think we have a community where we know what we expect from each other, and that has been clearly communicated. I don't know when, but at some point we all decided, you have to tell me what's going on in your life.
I think that came from you.
Maybe, but I don't know. At some point we all agreed there's no hiding. There's no suffering alone. You have to share. You can't show up and be in a bad mood and then not tell us what happened or like what's going on, or let us encourage you or pray with you or whatever. Like, yeah, I think that's been something big as well.
Yeah. One of the, just as me and Britt were starting to get closer, the first thing she's like, I feel like I don't know you. And I'm like, what do you mean you don't know me? Like, I feel like I'm doing like all I can. She's like, there's walls up. Walls up. I'm like, how do I get the walls down? I felt I was being like transparent. And I think like, I still don't know if I have words to put to it, but I think presence and just being present around people when you're like, mm-hmm. I think like a good example is I think about like how I invite Betty to come sit in my house when I'm cleaning and just her presence alone. Like I'm letting her see me at a point where I think like I've been raised to not let people in the house when your house is a mess. Mm-hmm. Right. And so me inviting you into that space is an example of vulnerability. Mm-hmm. Whereas before I was like, I got to clean the house. I know like a lot of us have that one door we keep closed. No one can see. And I'm learning to open that door both physically and in my relationships with you guys of like, I'm going to let you in. Like Britt came into town this weekend and I said, Britt, this is the room that the door is usually closed. Okay. And I did not straighten this up for you or make it perfect. And that to me is that vulnerability piece and something that it takes time. And I think to even think about the years I knew you guys where we weren't getting coffees or going to lunch or we weren't besties yet. Like I think some of you guys may be looking for friends in church and thinking like, they're not here yet. My people aren't here yet. And they may very well already be at church and you may already know them, but it may just take time to see that relationship blossom into something that is going to be a lifelong friendship for you.
Yeah. So good. So as someone coming in, let's say someone is new to a church, like we've all experienced being new to churches. How do they break past, you know, the barriers of trying to find community? Maybe there's already groups established. Like how do people kind of really find their people?
Yeah. So my response would be, for me, what worked, and I know not everything works for everyone, but my response would be like, serve. Mm-hmm. Start serving. Because that is how I met Betty and Yura. Well, Betty more so because of the life group that I got involved in. And then Europe was through her husband and he was serving. And I only knew him because I had started serving. Right. And with Britt, that was through life group. I think like serving will change your connections with people. I think about like Betty's connection to me changed because she started serving on the young adults leadership team. And that's when I really got to know you more. It wasn't because of the life group stuff anymore. It was because you joined leadership team and we started having to pray over things together and really like work together. And I think that is what started the foundation for us to get to know each other more because we were in each other's presence more. So I would say if you're trying to figure out what that looks like, start serving and start serving in areas you actually care about. Don't just pick up anything because then your heart's not going to really be in it.
Yeah. I think there is a level of vulnerability you have to have as well. Putting yourself out there and inviting yourself to be a part, whether that's being a part of a life group or serving on a team. I think sometimes we are so afraid of how people will view us or how people will judge us in community. And so just know that it does require a level of vulnerability and that's okay. And sometimes you're going to connect with someone and that will fizzle out in a couple months, but it doesn't mean you don't give up, right? Because there were so many relationships that I established around the time that we were all establishing relationships with each other. And some of those relationships fizzled out and that's okay. And so sometimes God does put people in your life for a particular season. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you're really blessed, you get people in your life for longer seasons. Yeah. And so,
I think another word I would say for that is just honesty and not being ashamed of needing friends and needing those attachments. Everybody needs attachments and everybody wants to be known. Yeah. And that's, I think a lot of times it's easy to believe lies about your own worth and feeling worthless and having a lot of shame around this aspect of community and just depending on your past experiences or maybe you've had a friend that has hurt you or you know, different things like that. So I think just coming to a place where you're honest with yourself and honest with the Lord about like why you want a friend, you know, and like having a why behind that. Why do you want to be in community, right? Not just because it's the thing to do or you're supposed to, or your church said you should join a life group or whatever, but why? Like maybe I feel lonely or I want to be known or I want to love other people. I have gifts I want to give and you know, I want to serve a group of people and love them and be a part of something. And I think being honest with yourself and being honest with other people about what you're looking for too and letting them know like, hey, I care about you. You know, I want to be your I want to be close. Like, I want to be your friend. And I think it's not popular to say things like that to people. And it feels, maybe a little bit cringy to be honest. But yeah, I think kind of shifting things a little bit to where there's no shame in wanting that. And yeah, I think that's kind of nice to hear from people that, like, hey, I care about you. And yeah, I think that's a good place to start. Just find people that you care about.
Yeah.
And let them know that you care about them. And see where it goes.
Yeah. And even pairing that with like an action, like ask to go to coffee, ask to go for a walk with someone. Like there's things like, don't be scared of asking like someone to, just like if you're going on a date with someone, date for your friendships. You know, like if the coffee date doesn't go well, you don't have to see them again outside of church. So it's like, it's okay to ask someone to hang out outside of church.
Yeah. And I think, too, I would say, like, having realistic expectations. Because I think sometimes we put a lot of pressure on, like, what we're expecting to find in church or just... And so having realistic expectations, like, the people in church are also people. Yeah. You don't get along with everybody, so you will not get along with everybody in this church. You will, like, not everybody in this group will be, like, your people. Yeah. So having, like, just those kinds of realistic expectations... And also, like, what we were saying earlier of it takes time, you know? Yeah. It may not happen immediately. Like, immediately, it may be surface level. And it may stay surface level for a while. But give it time, you know? And as you're filling it out, like, start being vulnerable and see what happens. But sometimes it takes time. And that's okay. Yeah?
And I forgot to mention this, but I know, I feel like it's a given, but I did really... pray. I asked the Lord to bring me a godly community of people that would help me in my journey to be more like Christ. I mean, I prayed earnestly. That's a biblical word. I prayed earnestly for a community. And it wasn't just like, oh, I prayed, you know, once a week. No, I prayed every day because I knew that I could not be who God called me to be without a godly community. Because when I was not living for the Lord, I had a whole bunch of people around me helping me to not live for the Lord. And so I knew that if I wanted to change course, that I wanted to have the right people. And who better to put the right people than the Lord? So, I mean, we kind of discredit it and, you know, we do all the practical things without the prayer, but it's those things and prayer. You have to be praying and asking the Lord for godly community and for him to bring the people. Because sometimes we will gravitate towards certain people that God has not called us into community with, right? Mm-hmm. People that maybe we want to be because they're popular or what have you. But like, no, I want what God has for me. I want his best, even in community.
I think too, like, and reading through the Old Testament and thinking about the Israelites, there was so much like direction from God, like get rid of these foreign gods that these other people are surrounding themselves with and don't intermarry with them. And like, it wasn't so much about like God not liking the people, is that he knew that that company would cause them to turn away from the Lord. And I think like that is something when we're thinking about holiness and seeking holy and friendships. We're not saying that you can't be friends with people who don't believe, but also keep in mind, like being mindful of what are these people pushing you towards? Can they pray for you? Are they making it harder for you to stay away from the things that you know are strongholds for you, temptations for you? And I've seen people have to actually make decisions of like, okay, I'm going to pull back from friendships and even for myself, because what are we doing in this friendship? What do we get joy in doing together? Mm-hmm. And is that something that is glorifying the Holy Spirit and God?
So good.
So I think that leads us into another good question. You know, we're a tight-knit group here, you know, and some may say that maybe y'all are exclusive at this point. Can other people get into your group? So how do you not become exclusive? And is there a need for exclusivity in friend groups in the church?
That's a really big dumb question.
Right.
And I don't know that I have all the answers. I think this is something that I'm still journeying in and still figuring out how to do well. So I think the thing that I would emphasize is you need to be loving to everyone. And you're going to probably falter in that. But I think to some extent, it's time and it's intentionality. And once you've had that time and intentionality with certain people, it is kind of easier just to kind of be yourself around those people. Mm-hmm. And so inviting other people in can maybe be a little bit tricky, as far as like, oh, maybe we meet every Monday at 5 and we've been doing that for years and now we're going to have somebody else come in and meet every Monday at 5 with us. It kind of changes the dynamic. And so, you know, those are things to consider, but I think however you decide to approach that, you should do it lovingly to everybody involved and you should be honest. And, you know, I don't think that it's mean. There's nothing mean about saying like, hey, we love you. We like you. We want to be your friend. Monday nights at 5 is kind of something that we've been doing for a long time that's special and important to us. And so we're going to keep doing that, but we would love to see you outside of that or whatever and like build a friendship with you and become closer with you. And so maybe one day, you know, you can come into that and we would all feel safe and comfortable with that. Yeah, I think just being honest and being loving and however you decide to handle things would be the priority. I don't think that there's a right way. At least if there is, I haven't found it.
Yeah.
I haven't found like, oh, this is a foolproof way to not hurt anyone's feelings or whatever. But I think just trying your best to be loving and that's all.
I think loving doesn't mean that you won't hurt someone's feelings either. I think I like your thought of honesty is actually being loving when done in kindness.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I don't think there's anything wrong with having different levels of friendship and of relationship with people, right? But I do think, to your point about being loving, when those people who are different levels or whatever are coming together, making sure everybody feels loved and welcomed and valued. But I don't know that I think there's anything wrong with like having like an inner circle and then having people who you're still good friends with, but they may not necessarily be like your inner circle, you know?
Yeah.
I just think navigating those relationships, all relationships, with like care, with love, with compassion, with grace, I think matters. And then the recognition that, you know, in some seasons, like some people will be closer than others. Yeah. Like some people may be a little bit more inner than others. And that's okay too. I think it's all about like how you navigate that and how you treat people. But I don't think there's anything wrong personally. Jesus had 3.
Yeah, I was about to say, Jesus was exclusive.
Yeah, so, you know,
Something I would also recommend is if you are going to have those inner circle tight connections, I would not flaunt that in public. And if you're going to be a tight group, be a tight group on Monday night in one of your all's homes. Mm-hmm. But when you're at church, you need to be open to everybody that you're around. And you need to be loving and focused on where you're at. And keep your eyes open for everybody. I think where it can easily become hurtful is when you're exclusive and there's other people around and they feel that.
Yeah.
And so, I think that there's nothing wrong with having close friendships and pursuing that. But you want to try to not flaunt that and make other people know that they're on the outs.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, when you're in public, make sure you're seeing and loving the people that are around you.
Yeah. We need to be mindful, too, that when we're in those church spaces, are we creating a space where people can come to us and they have our full attention? Because I think Jesus even modeled that.
Right.
People had his full attention when they were before him. And so, how do we like make sure we're doing that? I think that's a good question to pose when you're in your church spaces. And I even think back to us doing young adults and serving and how like, you know, it wasn't like, we maybe went to sit together, but there was moments where it's like, okay, I'm on the greeting team. So I'm going to go like make sure I'm talking to guests and make sure if they don't have anyone to sit with, they can sit with me. And like, you know, doing those things, I think that is, I really appreciate you sharing that because I think that's really important. Because I think sometimes once we get our friends, we're like so excited about them.
Mm-hmm. Trying to get everything together. It's like a click.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think even I'm feeling a little conviction because like, I'm not going to lie. Like I enjoy sitting with Betty at church. And I don't think I really think about too much of like, oh, like what other people are doing. And I think that is something for me to even consider of like, I'm still in this church. I'm still in this place. How do I invite others into community in this space?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think I'm starting to realize how important it is to see people outside of just the people I know being in a totally new state. I'm now away from my girls in Texas. And so being in a new church and feeling alone again, like feeling like, oh man, I don't know anybody. When people go out of their way, even though they're with their friends, to come and say hello and say, hey, you want to sit with us? Or is this your first time? Do you have anyone to sit with? Like, that's a game changer. Even if I never see these people again, right? Yeah. Like, even if it was just that one Sunday that they invited me to sit with their friends, like that just, it makes me feel like, oh, I'm a part of something. I'm really a part of this church. I'm really a part of this body. And so I love that you felt that conviction even just now of like, oh, do I do that? Because now being in that seat, I'm like, man, that really does make the difference. And so it's not inviting them inviting me to be their BFFs forever, but just saying, hey, I want to invite you into the body of Christ and I don't want you to sit by yourself. And we may not know each other well, but like we can sit together and get to know each other. And so I think that's important. I'm glad you said that.
Yeah. I think that brings a really good question of how do you sustain community in season of changes, and like just kind of share where we all are in our journey so I can like kind of lead the way. So I have recently resigned from my job and I am thinking about moving to a different state. So I haven't done that just yet, but that is a big transition that's upcoming. And I recognize that that's probably going to definitely going to impact the way I see Betty, because I see her like 6 days a week. But like thinking like, how does that going to change our friendships? And I really more so want to focus on Europe and Brit, because y'all are in completely different like seasons than when we started off our, or different locations than when we started our friendships too.
Yeah. So I've been in Texas now, which I don't know if you guys believe it, 4 years. Ooh, it was 4 years last month. It feels like just yesterday, which means that we've probably been friends for longer than 5 years, but it's fine. But I've, you know, been in Texas for 4 years, and Betty kind of mentioned it, you know, setting aside time to connect. It wasn't like, oh, we're going to talk every week or every day or text every day. I'm the worst texter ever. But we did try to do a bi-weekly weekend that we would try to chat and catch up, setting up Zoom calls where we would see each other as a group and talk about what we're going through. You know, whenever I had to come here to the East Coast or to North Carolina for anything, I would try to make time to see you all, even if it was just for a moment. You know, asking you all to kind of take an extra step to include me in on things that you guys were doing, whether Europe entering in new seasons and wanting pictures and wanting to know a little bit more about what's happening in y'all's lives, even if I'm not there and I'm not present for it. That was a big deal. And I thank y'all for being willing to go the extra mile to make me feel still included, even though there were a lot of times where you guys were doing things without me. And I was like, oh, man, y'all, they're traveling. It make me cry. They're traveling, they're going places, but I never felt like I wasn't loved or wanted or valued in the friendship. And so, yeah.
I know it's my turn, but I'm getting emotional.
Betty, where are you at?
I mean, I think I just echo what I said earlier about intentionality. And yeah. I feel like maybe out of the four of us right now, I feel like my life tends to be a little bit more like steady. So sometimes it can make it easier to be intentional because I'm like, nothing is happening. I have time, I have capacity, whatnot. But I just think what you said about the being intentional, setting time aside. I don't think I have anything to add to that except intentionality. And that's going to look different for different people. So correct. Figuring out like what that looks like for you and for your friendship, instead of like trying to model that off someone else. So.
I guess all I can say is just to communicate with each other about what you want out of your friendships and just talk about how to still be friends in the changing seasons. For me, I got married, so I'm the only one who's married, and that was in 2021, so that's been a while now. And then we decided to go to a different church. And so that was a major change. And, you know, often if you become friends with somebody in church and you're kind of church friends, like that's kind of a major thing to be okay, we don't have this thing that's tying us together anymore where we're seeing each other on a scheduled basis every Sunday. And that did bring changes to our friendship, I think. And then I had a baby. So that was, that was last year. And so that's a major change too, to be the only one in the group married and with a baby. That's, you know, a very different season of life. And I think at some point that change is inevitable. And so I don't know if I've gone through all of those changes in necessarily the best way. But I think at some point, like Britt said, just kind of, I think we all know that we all care about each other, even when our friendships change. And we, you know, I haven't gotten to see everybody as often, even though I live in the same state still, my life is just different. And I have priorities that have shifted a lot over the last few years. And so, but I think regardless of that, and through all of those changes, we all know how much we all still mean to each other. And so I think that's the most important thing. And to not be afraid of, you know, oh, we used to see each other every day and then we don't see each other every day anymore. Do we still have that friendship that we once had? You know, it's like, I think not being afraid of things changing and embracing what our friendship looks like in this season and being grateful and just loving each other in whatever season that you're in, and not holding such a tight grip to, you know, what maybe we had or what we have in this current moment.
That's good. And assuming the best. I mean, just really assuming the best of one another, because, you know, especially as you talked about navigating new seasons, I know so many friend circles where that someone getting married or someone having a child just ruins the entire friendship circle because there's an assumption that's made, or, you know, there's jealousy. And so like having good assumptions for one another and wanting truly the best for one another, that's really the spirit of the Lord. Right. Because even in our own striving, we can still want what someone else has and envy and be jealous. But like truly celebrating, like when you got married, we were like, yes, we were so happy. And that's one of like our best memories. And then when you became a mom, we were like, yes, and celebrated that. And so like celebrating each other in our transitions in new seasons of life and assuming the best. And we each still have our own friends, even outside of this friendship group. So these are, we're not each other's only friends. And so those new seasons may mean we open up our circles to different people, but we can still maintain relationships with one another, which I think is so awesome.
Yeah. If you guys had to share one closing thought when it comes to community with our listeners, what would that be? And I'm going to give you just a moment to think about it because this is on the spot. So take your time.
I think I would say, just because we haven't touched on this at all, spend some time in self-discovery of your lies that you may be believing about friendships, specifically about yourself and friendships, about relationships. I think it can be really hard to pursue community if you have a really deep-rooted lie about, you know, nobody wants to be my friend, or, you know, people don't care about me, or I'm not a good friend, or, you know, whatever the lie may be. I think spend some hard work and time with the Lord, discovering what you believe about yourself in community, processing through prior relationships, prior hurts, prior friendships that have gone well or that haven't gone well. And put some time into that with the Lord. And, and also, I'll just share truth that, like, everybody needs attachments to other people. And you are a good friend to somebody, you know, like, I mean, to Betty's point, not everyone is a perfect love match in the friendship department, but you will find somebody that is a great match for you, that has shared interests or, you know, whatever. And there's hope. And I just want to, like, share that for wherever you are, like, put in the effort to look within and then put in the effort to look outside of yourself and, you know, open your eyes to the people around you and put the effort in. And I think the Lord will bless it and be faithful to to pray about it, be faithful to take steps. You know, I'm not a person that will say, just pray about it. I will also say, go and look for a friend, you know. Yeah. So I think that's what I would leave with, is just some hope of like, hey, you can have community. It feels out of reach for a lot of people. But I think that there's hope for everybody to have it.
I think I would say become the kind of friend you would want. So if there are certain things you are looking for in friendships and in relationships, like work on developing those characteristics in yourself. And then I would also say just prepare to be inconvenienced, prepare for the messy. I mean, being in a relationship with people it's hard, it's challenging, it's messy, but it's also like beautiful and there's so much fruit from it. But I think we want the fruit and we talk about the beauty and the fruit of it, yeah. But we don't talk about like the messy and the inconvenient and the hard things that comes with being in a relationship. So I think even just like preparing yourself for that, so that when it happens, you're not like disappointed in your friends, or you're like the relationship doesn't end or something like that, you know?
I love what Europe said earlier about just not holding things so tightly, mm-hmm. but holding your idea of community loosely. Yeah. Because oftentimes when we think of what community should look like in the church, we compare it with what we've seen in culture, what we see in movies. And like you just said, Betty, it could be messy. It could be, mm-hmm. it could require us to feel like we're being or inconveniencing ourselves. And the world wants to tell us, well, it should be easy. It should be simple. If, you know, they don't agree with everything that you believe or everything that you think is right, then they're not your people. And that's just not true. Mm-hmm. And so you really do have to hold it loosely and be okay with how that looks and how that's different. And that's beautiful. So I think that'll be my.
Yeah. I think you're going to have seasons of isolation and where you may not. And what I mean by that, like, I think back to the people I thought were my friends when I was younger, a teenager, and how like that just blew up in my face. And there was a season where I was very isolated, but that was the time where the Lord drew me near and I got to know God's heart more. Mm-hmm. And I think that made me better for the community I would have. And so I think mm-hmm. like some of us, you may be listening, you're like, this is great. I'm so glad that you have found your friends, Zari and Britt, but like, that's just not the season I'm in. And like, know that where you're at now isn't necessarily an indicator of where you're going to finish. Right. Amen. And so allow yourself to get to know the Lord. Because as much as I love these girls, only God is there 24/7.
Amen.
And so like allow yourself to also commune with the Lord.
Mm-hmm. So good. Mm-hmm. Well, I would just love to kind of end this by just praying over someone who may be listening or watching. And maybe they are struggling to find community or desiring a community like ours, or maybe they're in community and they're struggling. Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity to be with these ladies. Thank you for the community that you have designed. Thank you for your body, for how you have designed the body of Christ to be in union with one another, so that we don't have to live our Christian life, seek holiness alone. And so, Lord, if there's someone that is listening or watching and they need community, Lord, we pray that you would open their eyes to see the people that are around them in their local church, in their local community, who you desire for them to be in close fellowship, and then give them the courage and the boldness to reach out, to connect, to make one step towards that person and love them. Give them eyes to see, Lord. And we pray for divine connections and divine appointments in community, Lord. And ultimately, Lord, we pray that we are all drawn closer in fellowship with you, because we know that in you, we have everything that we need, even in community. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you guys so much for tuning in.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. This is awesome.